O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, growing up, we had this favorite uncle. It was my mom's brother, and Uncle John and Aunt Sarah were the youngest of all of them, and they lived in Connecticut. They didn't have any children yet, and so all my cousins and my sisters, we so wanted, and we were so excited when they would come. Because, you know, Uncle John had a really cool car, and they brought this bulldog at one point with them, and they just weren't around that much. They lived in Connecticut. We lived in Ohio. We didn't get to see them that often. And so my cousins, and this was mostly at Christmas time, so my cousins and we would rush, and who gets to sit by Uncle John and Aunt Sarah? Well, you know, then some of the other uncles and aunts would be like, well, what? You don't want to be with us? No, we want to. And then whoever got to sit next to Uncle John and Aunt Sarah, everybody else was angry because you got that special attention. Now, as we grew up, we began to understand that, yeah, they're no different than anybody else. They have their own quirks. And when we got to spend more time with them, it was, oh, yeah, okay. But when we were young and we didn't get to see them that often, it was, who gets to? And then the anger of all the other cousins. Kind of reminds me of our story today. You know, James and John, they're brothers, and they go to Jesus and say, you know, can we sit on your right hand and your left hand so that we can be there with you? And so Jesus talks to them and says, you know, that isn't mine to give. Yes, you'll probably share the baptism that I have shared because you will live that. And you'll have the cup of blessing that I share. You will share that as well. But it's not mine to tell you who sits at my right or my left. And while this is all going on, you know, those other cousins, those other disciples, they're getting angry about this conversation that is happening. And so Jesus takes this moment to teach. To teach and to show what it means to be a leader. Because Jesus doesn't want us to be so self-absorbed that we sit on Jesus's right or Jesus's left. Jesus wants us to be servant leaders. And servant leaders are different than line leaders. And servant leaders are different than trying to always be first. Because in servant leadership, we need to take into account these promises that we have been named and claimed by God at this font. And every time someone else is baptized or someone affirms their baptism and says those promises, we are reminded again that these promises are part of our lives. They help us to be the leaders, the servant leaders that Jesus is calling us to be. The same when we gather at the table with the cup of new covenant. It isn't about power. So let's figure out what servant leadership looks like for us. One idea is servant leadership is about putting others' wants and needs before our own. It's kind of like, another example would be kind of like, you know, a soccer team. So when Andy and AJ were little, they played soccer from the time they were very little till the time even now. But when they were very little, picture this. You got 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds running around this field. And the coach is saying, no, 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 you don't all get to go to the ball at once. No, 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 you don't need to pick up that clover or that flower over there. The coach begins to teach about leadership and about servant leadership that you wouldn't even think about, because it's not about everybody having the ball. It's about playing your positions and helping one another to get a goal. But can you picture it? All these little kids, kind of like we called it mash ball. They'd just run and everybody would be at the ball. But the job of that coach is to help others see, especially those kids on that team, that we all have a place. And that when we work together, it becomes a team and servant leadership takes over. Because it isn't about the power that we think of as power. Being first, having all the money, having all the friends. It's about the power of God's love through these promises of being named and claimed by God. Because it's not just about what we think. It's about our transformational change of what God is calling us to do and be as servant leaders. It's about getting out of our own self-absorption and looking and really seeing others in the light of God. So, modeling sometimes becomes the way that we teach about servant leadership. Think about that. How are you modeling this leadership that God is trying to teach us? So, a couple of stories that I found this week as I was just thinking about it. One of the news stories had to do with this little girl. She's about 8 or 9 or 10, and she had had cancer, and she was in remission now. And maybe you saw this same news story. But the little girl, in the town and in the hospital in which she had her surgeries and had her chemos, she would go and be with each child that was there to help them not be afraid. And she talked about that it wasn't about that she wanted to be recognized. It was about she wanted to be with that child that was going through what she had gone through and help them feel like there was someone who cared about them. And at the very end of the news story, there was these two little girls. One, the little girl who was in remission, who had her hair back and was smiling and Rudy, and the other little girl that was bald but was at the beginning of remission, and how the two of them stood there and said, "We are here for each other and to help other children so that they aren't afraid." That's about servant leadership. And it even, you could stretch it even, and I know that the Ohio State-Purdue game didn't make many people happy last night, but there was a young man there who had cancer and was on hospice care, and his goal was to get to that game and root his Purdue Boilermakers to a victory over Ohio State. Now, did that have anything to do with how they played? No. But that was part of the story of what it means to be a leader. He didn't give up. He stayed and did. I mean, he had said the day before he was so sick he couldn't even get out of bed. But he sat and talked to the newscaster about his illness, knowing that he is going to die soon. That's a servant leader. Or about this young teen. She had her first job, and she got her first paycheck. And the young teen that sat behind her in school needed some new shoes. She took that first paycheck and bought that young friend of hers a new pair of shoes. Didn't tell him she was going to do it. She just gave them to him, and he was overcome with tears. That's what servant leadership is. It's not about who we are. It's about how we help others in the world. And it's about getting outside of our own walls, our walls of who we are, and our walls that surround us here. So are we sitting on the right hand or the left hand of Jesus? Or are we opening ourselves up to be servant leaders? Yeah, you know, it was kind of fun to sit by my uncle and aunt as a young child. But as I look back on it now, I realize that we need to teach one another how to be the leaders that God, that Jesus is calling us to be by being last instead of first. I challenge you to look around you this week and find ways to serve others. Amen.